T-minus 58. Drive-in, Birchwood, Colorado. Long after closing time at New Care Grillin', Henry McCarthy and his old friend Walter Bird, Mr. Bird to almost everyone, remained together at the bar. The third of their rarely apart trio, the bar's owner, Phil Norris, was currently out of town collecting an item he'd spoken of only generally and was buying with cash. A lot of it. Neither of these elements of Phil's late-night transaction surprised them, with what might have sounded to anyone else like a midnight drug deal raising no alarm bells for two men who knew the kind of interests and concerns Phil held. Once a loner who exhibited outright suspicion and borderline hostility to anyone he didn't already know well, Phil had certainly mellowed somewhat in the past few years. It didn't take a genius to realize that this coincided with the sudden economic uptick that global interest in Birchwood brought to his previously derelict drive-in lot, but even a bank balance Phil could never have dreamed of wasn't enough to eliminate his fear that, in his favored parlance, the shit could hit the fan at any given moment. "Once a prepper, always a prepper," Mr. Bird had laughed when Phil set off on the 120-mile trip to collect his latest suddenly necessary item. Neither Mr. Bird nor Henry even bothered to ask what it was, knowing by now that such a question would be greeted with laughter at best. They had likewise never asked Phil where his hidden bunker was, but given the apparent size of his stash, they couldn't help but wonder. Eventually, Phil arrived back just as 1 a.m. rolled around. On his return, he looked more than a little surprised to have found the bar's light still on and the door unlocked. "I was pretty sure you would have locked up by now," he said, not annoyed by any stretch. "Didn't think you oldies could still stay up this late." "Nice bag," Henry said, referencing the grocery-style plastic bag in Phil's hand, which was emblazoned with the name of a tanning salon.
"Big date coming up?"
An involuntary half-grin spread across Phil's face.
"And to think I was going to give you one,"
he mused with an exaggerated shake of the head. Henry and Mr. Bird shared a lingering look as though silently debating who would have to ask the pointless question. Upon losing the staring contest, Mr. Bird turned to Phil and sighed.
"What's in the bag?"
"Greater X, 3000, Phil said.
"Times 10.
The look Henry and Mr. Bird shared this time was very different.
"Greater what?"
Henry asked. Like Mr. Bird, less amazed by the content of Phil's answer than the fact he'd given them one at all.
"Greater X," Phil said, reaching into the bag. "You don't remember these things from the 90s? They were expensive as hell, way ahead of their time. But they were getting a niche following right until they were banned from stores. It was all bullshit, politicians overreacting and overreaching like they always do."
"What am I looking at?" Mr. Bird asked, squinting his eyes at something that looked almost like a Bluetooth headset, but definitely wasn't. "What the hell does it do?" Phil sat down on the empty stool.
"They're portable radios. See? You clip it on the back of your head and it relays the signal through these bone conduction pads. There are modern headsets that do the same kind of thing, but not like this. These are two-way radios, not just for listening to commercial stations. Sure, you can do that, but that's not why I'm interested."
Henry and Mr. Bird didn't share any confused glances this time, both too consumed by Phil's excited explanation to take their eyes from the curious item in his hands.
"One of these bone conduction pads has a microphone built in," Phil went on. "You can flick this little switch to put the unit into two-way mode. The short-range radio transmitter is why they were banned."
"So you drove all night for a walkie-talkie?" Mr. Bird asked.
"Give him a break, Bird," Henry interjected. "He drove all night for 10 walkie-talkies. Right, Phil?"
Mr. Bird laughed heartily. It was all good-natured ribbing, and Phil was taking it in good spirits. Unperturbed, Phil shrugged it off and continued. He spoke with evident pride in his purchase, which seemed to explain his uncharacteristic willingness to break his first rule of prepping, to never let anyone know what he had.
"These things have always been popular as a niche comms alternative," he said, "since they run on regular batteries and have a pretty damn good range. But I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in something Alan Greater X himself said a few days ago, which hasn't been reported in the U.S. yet."
These things could function as telepathy blockers,